Welcome to North Star, where we lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our campus in Blacksburg, Virginia. You can learn more about North Star by clicking on our website, northstarfamily.org. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you next time at North Star Church.
How do we know, like Paul did, with confidence, what is God's will? How do we make decisions as believers? How do we face persecution? How do we face hardship? How do we face suffering with confidence that we're in the middle of God's will? How can we experience joy in the midst of pain? How can we experience contentment in the midst of turbulence? I want to throw out some thoughts for you for that. And we've got a slide that I'm going to show you. The first one is just, here's how not to determine God's will. All right? How not to determine His will. The first thing is to assume that God wants you to be comfortable and happy. To assume that God wants you to be comfortable and happy. If we're going to embrace God's will for our life, we need to understand that as New Testament followers of Jesus, it takes no longer gaze than to gaze at Paul's life and to look deeply and say, Paul knew that following Jesus wasn't going to make him comfortable and probably wasn't making him very happy. And I'm contrasting happiness and joyfulness. Something else that we cannot do if we're going to determine God's will is to believe that a larger paycheck or a bigger opportunity is from God. And I could have painted a broad swath on this. Sometimes we'll look at opportunities. Sometimes we'll look at finances. Sometimes we'll look at shininess or beauty. And because something is more or better or greater or new and improved, we like to think that must mean it's what God wants for us. But sometimes God invites us to minister and serve in obscurity rather than on the platform and on a large stage. Sometimes God calls us to poverty instead of to wealth. Sometimes God calls us into the middle of small things instead of big things. Something else that we cannot do if you want to know what God's will is rationalize. I am so good at this. I have learned to Christianize my rationalizations. Well, you know, God, if you were to do this for me, if you'd give me that, then it'd help me bring you more glory and yada, yada, yada. I am so good at that. Something else that we cannot do if we want to know what God's will is that we cannot rely on pros and cons. I get so weary of people who rely on making a decision about God's will based on a list of pros and cons. Well, here's all the things that I can figure out speak to why I should make this decision. And here's all the things I feel like speak to why I shouldn't make this decision. And the pros far outweigh the cons. And because I find that line of thought throughout Scripture, they're always making pros and con lists to determine what I should do with my life before God. It just makes sense that I should proceed in this way. I don't think we have to say any more about that. Another thing you shouldn't do is rely on open and closed doors. Boy, I've done this so many times. And let me just, it's the voice of experience. Just because you have an open door in front of you doesn't mean that God has opened it. And if He has, He's doing it as a test because He wants you to get about mid-step through it and He's going to slam it in and break your nose. Because you were dumb enough to think that an open door is His will. Sometimes closed doors are there because God wants you to God wants to test you. Even Jesus stood at the door and knocked. He wants us to open the door. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus tells his disciples a parable. And literally, Luke 18, 1 says he tells the disciples a parable to the effect that they should pray and never give up. In other words, just because that door is closed right now, believer, you beat it down. You keep praying until you have a peace that is supposed to be closed. But if you don't have a peace that is supposed to be closed in faith, you keep praying. Just because you have an opportunity doesn't mean you're supposed to step into the middle of it. It could be an invitation to test your faith, to be able to say no, to be able to stay where you are, trusting that God is still at work where you are. Something else that you cannot do is you cannot claim to know God's will for someone else. Isn't this exactly what these believers were doing in Tyre? Isn't this what Luke and the other companions were doing in Caesarea? Don't go, don't go. We think we know what you're supposed to do. Don't do it, don't do it. How often do we listen to sermons in the church? We're thinking, oh, so-and-so should be listening to this. Oh, I see some of your elbows out there, nudging your spouse, nudging a friend. Did you get that? Sometimes you write your notes really big and then hold them so that they can read them. You know, I know you do that. I do that. And the last thing that we cannot do if we want to know God's will is just assume that more fruitfulness is the path to His will. Some of you are like, what do you mean by that? That's ministry speak. And maybe I'm just speaking to those of you who are in ministry today or influencers in ministry. But sometimes we'll evaluate whether something is God's will. Will this help me glorify God better? Will this lead to more fruitfulness? Are we seeing more responsiveness here? So we should go there and minister and work and serve. Well, just because something might look like it's more fruitful doesn't mean it's God's will. God called the prophet Jeremiah and says, I want you to preach, and nobody's ever going to listen. So if we were to evaluate Jeremiah's ministry, we would say, failure, no fruit. William Carey is considered the father of modern missions. He went to India, and he ministered, and he served there for 7 years before he saw a single person receive Jesus in faith. Are those 7 years failure years? No. Don't evaluate whether something is God's will based on fruitfulness alone. So let me flip this and let me just offer some thoughts for you. How do you know what God's will is? And let me just say this as the outset. The question is not, what is God's will for my life? It's the wrong question. The question is just, what is God's will? Because some of us want to bypass Scripture. And we want a tailor-made plan for my life. And yet we look at God's Word and God says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth except what is useful for building others up. And we're like, I like how I talk. I'm not going to submit my speech and my conduct and my statuses and my postings to the Lord. I can say what I want to say, even if it doesn't build other people up. Scripture is really clear. God's will is love one another. You say, well, I don't love so-and-so, or I don't feel good about that person. Scripture is really clear that we should give a portion of our income to glorify Him. You're like, well, yeah. So if you're asking yourself, what is God's will for my life, and you are just ignoring most of this, you're not going to get really far. God's already shown you His will and His Word. If you want to know God's will, it's in His Word. Study. Obey. Rejoice. So the question is not what is God's will for my life, but just what is God's will. So the very first thing is cultivate a daily relationship with Him that includes prayer, Scripture, community, and joy. Cultivate a daily relationship with God. If you want to know what God's will is, love Him Sunday. Love him on Monday. Love him on Tuesday. You get the picture? Dailiness. When you hang out with someone a lot, you kind of start figuring out what they want and what they don't want from you, right? When you spend time with someone, you're just able to read them. You smell what they're stepping in. Be with God in relationship with Him daily. And I threw in the idea of community. You cannot determine God's will for your life in isolation. God has made us interdependent. Second thing is love people with all your heart. Love people with all your heart. I'm just kind of being sneaky here. First two things, love God with all you are, love people with all your heart. It's the first and the second greatest commandments, because I figured it's going to be really hard to know what God's will is for our life if we're not obeying the first and the second commandments, right? So I'm kind of being a little bit sneaky. This isn't my stuff. That's kind of God's stuff. Third thing, understand that God wants you holy before He wants you happy. And again, I'm contrasting happiness with joy, okay? But don't think to yourself, surely God wouldn't want this because this won't make me happy, circumstantially happy. No, God wants you to be set apart for Him. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to enjoy Him. Fourth thing is seek wise counsel. That's what I mean by being in community. Seek wise counsel. And then lastly, accept that God's will may not be what you want, but it will be what you wonder at later. Later on, after you've chosen to obey and after you've chosen to follow, you'll look back and you'll go, wow. Wow. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up and they're going to close us in music. But if I could just ask you to bow your heads, and I want to talk to you with your eyes closed just about Jesus for a moment. So worship team, if you'd make your way forward. And let me talk to the rest of you where you are about Jesus. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said this, the love of Christ, listen to that, the love of Christ, the love of Jesus controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says there's nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. Folks, Jesus did his Father's will. Jesus modeled for us submission to his Father, joyful submission to his Father. On the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, not my will, but yours be done. He says, I've come to do the will of my Father. Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans 12, 2, he says, by the renewing of your mind, you will be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. As we prepare to worship, let me just toss out this one thought. When you are certain of God's love for you in Jesus, when you are certain that Jesus loves you, you will embrace His will. You will be confident in His care, and you'll be able to trust His plan. When you're confident that Jesus loves you, you will embrace His will. You'll be comforted by His care, and you will follow His plan. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul's confident example of pursuing your will in his life, regardless of external circumstances, regardless of well-intentioned believers. And Lord, give us that same confidence. Help us to pursue you with all that we are, to glory in doing your will, to enjoy doing your will, so that we might be refreshed that we might live in obedience, and so that the nations and our neighbors might be led to you. Because we see that the way Paul lived brought people to you constantly. And we want that kind of life as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.